Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. The Strangest Stories, Volume 5, Story 1. I live in Cleveland County, Oklahoma, and this is what happened to me back in 2010. I rented a place to some people that lived about three places down from me. And when they moved in, they were telling me about these big footprints they were seeing by their place, and I just didn't think anything of it. Well, I just thought they were seeing something else, and so I forgot all about it. Well, I was over there helping put up a fence so their horse didn't have to be put in a little panel fence for winter. So we were putting it up in around hunting season. And in the back, just a little in the trees, we were hearing tree branches breaking in the deep ditch about 200 to 300 feet away. The kids said, "Look, there's something dark in the deep ditch." So we looked, but I didn't see anything. But all through putting up that fence for 2 days, we heard it, not paying too much attention to it, thinking it was some deer or squirrel, fox, or whatever. The only thing we had left to do was to put up the gate on it, and it was getting late, so we were going to do that the next day. The next day, me and my friend went to town. Her husband was at work, and her kids were at school, so we were trying to get back before the kids got off from the bus. Well, we pulled up to their place, and the kids came outside as we were getting out of my truck. It was about 5 or 5:30 p.m. It was daytime, not dark at all. Then we heard this god-awful screaming sound coming from the beginning of the trees at the fence line in the back where we had put the fence up. At that split second, I was thinking that two cats were up at the top of one of the trees, and I said, "I'm going to run down there and scare them cats and the fighting." The only thing is, I ran down there and stopped right in my tracks. At the fence, standing right in front of me, was this big, and I mean big and tall, thing that had to be about 8 or 9 feet tall, brown, red kinky haired thing. It had to be a Bigfoot. It had its back facing me, and I stared at it, and it took about 4 steps and it was gone. Big steps, and it pushed them trees with its arms like they were little twigs. The trees, they were just swaying back and forth. I was in shock. My friend was right behind me, and the kids were behind her, and they saw the last half of it as it left, and they were saying, "Follow it." And I said, "Go ahead, I'm not." Not knowing what to do about this, we were just in awe. So we called the sheriff, and they came out and took our testimony and left. So far, it's gotten all their chickens, and the horse is going crazy and running around pawing the ground, and won't go to that back fence anymore. My husband heard this scream one morning, right in front of our house back in 2006. There's a telephone building, and the thing came from behind it. My husband woke me up early one morning saying he was hearing Bigfoot out there. I thought he just wanted to wake me up. But when I saw he was serious, I ran outside on the porch and heard the last of the screams and put it off to being a big cat. But now I know it was Bigfoot because I heard it and we saw it. He or she, for that matter, was very tall. The head and body was very close together. The hair was not straight and shiny, but kind of kinky, maybe a little curly, and red-brown in color. Broad shoulders, long arms, stood straight up on long legs. The footprints measured about 16 inches. I went back over there to make sure of my measurements, and the footprints were 16 inches long, and the space from one step up to the next was 21 inches. There are 3 different sizes of prints, and that was just one. We think there's a family of them, so we're not wanting to let anyone know the area in fear of killing them unless we have to. I won't go into the woods anymore, even though before I was never a believer. But now I don't go in there without a gun and someone else with me. And I was never like that before. Story number 2. A retired engineer and I and my wife live in a clustered home community near the western edge of Portage County, Ohio. The community is surrounded by small sections of woods, marshes, and ponds. Our kitchen faces west towards a wooded area. From our kitchen window, my wife and I have watched deer, squirrel, coyote, and all manner of birds come out of the woods onto the grass area between our house and the edge of the woods. During the winter, we enjoy watching the tracks made by the woodland creature. There isn't a backyard divider between cluster homes, and our home is on a slight hill, so we can see hundreds of feet and many backyards. After the heaviest snow of the winter, approximately February of 2009, I noticed a bipedal track running out of the woods and up to my adjoining neighbor's home. The track then made a beeline back toward an opening in the woods and then disappeared in the brush. Initially, I thought it must be a neighbor walking behind the homes on what is referred to as the common area. But after a day or so of looking at the tracks, it dawned on me that the stride of the track was extremely long and regular. This was a little strange because the tracks went up and down a drainage swale without changing length. It came to me that it might be a Bigfoot track. I pointed this out to my wife. She somewhat believed it at this point. 2 days later, my son visited with his kids, and I pointed the tracks out to him. My son and I have a kidding relationship, and he thought it was just my imagination at work. We discussed deer tracks, dog tracks, rabbit tracks, bear tracks, moose tracks, etc. All the things that it couldn't be because it was bipedal, long, and straight. The next thing I know, he throws on his boots and coat and charges out to the yard, trying to lay down a parallel track by jumping along the side of the track to prove his old man was wrong. The short of it was that it proved just the opposite. He could not jump far enough in the snow to match the unknown track's stride length by a foot and a half. My son's size 11 boot prints were half as wide and 4 to 5 inches shorter as well. I pointed out to him that all up and down the cluster homes was a similar track, showing that something came out of the woods and walked up to the back window of the homes in straight lines. The tracks avoided the driveways, walked up to a back window, then turned and walked back into the wooded area. The tracks didn't retrace themselves, but efficiently quartered the area behind the homes. The path seemed very determined, with no sign of wandering that is usually seen with animal tracks. A day later, I waded into the snow to get a closer look at the tracks and notice some other details. The unknown tracks punched nearly vertically down through the snow. My son's tracks, on the other hand, showed a slope on both the forward and rearward edges as he attempted to match the stride. I looked for toe prints and found them. They were huge. No surprise there. What did surprise me was that a print that I thought was going to be the left foot turned out to be the right foot. I looked back along the lines of tracks trying to figure out why I made that mistake and concluded that there was little or no side to stagger to the prints as a human would make, and I just made a wrong assumption. The toes were long and splayed out. The little toe was almost as long as the big toe. The tracks had 5 toes and were almost square across the ends of the toes. I thought of taking photographs, but I didn't have a working camera. Besides, taking a picture of the tracks in the snow reminded me of the futility of taking a picture of a polar bear in a snowstorm. As far as I know, many people may have seen the tracks, but only I, my wife, and my son recognized the oddity of them. A week later, while I was putting out the garbage at night, I heard a far-off wail that sounded like Bigfoot sound recordings played on the internet. I didn't recognize it immediately because we have rail sightings, truck depots, and small manufacturing plants within 120 feet. They make unusual sounds at odd hours, and I wasn't paying much attention to the sounds at the time. 3 months later, while driving on a road that runs through the marsh a half mile from my home, I saw a coal black object in the marsh. It stood out because everything else was the brown, gray, or green coloring of the marsh at that time of the year. It was less than 100 feet away. I looked back at it a second later, and it hadn't moved. It was so black that I could not make out any details, despite the fact that it was midday with plenty of light. I can't say what it was that I saw, but it wasn't there the next day or any day after. There's an active rail track and a small stream very near to where I saw the object. What I saw was an impenetrable black object sticking 2 feet or so above the marsh plants. It was shaped somewhat like a bush. It didn't look like a bear or anything else I could think of. If it was a Bigfoot, it must have been seated looking the other way with its head tucked down. I don't know what it was, but it's not there now. I did buy a new camera, so if something else comes up, I have a chance of taking a picture. Next story. This was about 1993, and I was a teenager. And before everybody had a cell phone in their hand, I used to live at a place about 13 miles outside of Meridian, Mississippi. There is nothing there but hunting and fishing man's dream. A lot of creeks, rivers, ponds, small lakes, woods, and old logging roads that went on for miles. Some relatives of mine owned a great deal of land close to where I lived, and on their land was an old logging road that went to a creek called Talahara. It is long and a winding creek. This creek in some places is as wide as most rivers, but it's always shallow until it rains. And on my property close to this creek, they had built a simple one-room cabin for camping. It was built high on 5-foot telephone poles for when the creek floods, it would be above water. I had camped there many times, but one fall night when I went camping there, and the last time, I went with some friends, and there were four of us. We had been wade fishing all day and planned to stay there for the night. So we fished till dark and went back to the cabin and made a simple fire and hung out and drank some whiskey we had borrowed and cleaned lots of fish. We did that till about 11 p.m. and then all went into the cabin for the night and lit up a couple of Coleman lanterns, got a good fire going in the wood heater, and we laid down for the night. The next thing I know, I woke up to some noise in the cabin, and I looked while rubbing my eyes to see one of my friends almost jogging through the cabin from the door to his bed. And I guess I was the last to wake up, and I asked what they were all doing, and they said all at once that there's something out there. I rolled my eyes, turned away, and laid back down. And I said, "There's nothing out there. Go back to sleep." Just as I finished saying it, I heard the noise. It sounded like limbs breaking at a short distance away. And one of my friends yelled, "What the hell is that?" Another replied he didn't know. So let's just say I was awake now. I got up and tried to listen better, and I could hear it. When I put my ear to the wall, I could hear what sounded like something hitting trees and walking heavily through the woods next to us. I started to think what it could be. I knew it wasn't a buck. Rutting season is later in the year, and there are black bears here, but I'd never heard any commotion like this. Plus, it sounded like it was growling. Well, I was freaked out now. My friends and I grew up hunting, fishing, and camping in the woods, and are very experienced in sights and sounds of the woods and its animals, but I was not familiar with these types of sound and behavior. As I listened, I could hear pacing back and forth through the woods next to us, and it seemed to be breaking limbs. At one point, it made a loud noise like a growl, and then a large limb broke. I stepped back from the wall and asked, "What are we going to do?" One of my friends asked what we should do as well, and, "What do you mean?" I said. "What if whatever that is tries to get in here?" A silence came over all of us as we were thinking about the same thing, protection. We scrambled to find what we had. I had a .38 snub-nosed pistol with 5 shells that I always take camping. We had a few knives and a machete and some long logs from the small wood pile inside. So I focused on getting some clothes and boots on, as did everyone, and all the while the noise had not stopped, and as we were spreading out in the cabin, it stopped. One of my friends thought it was gone. We listened, and I thought to myself, what if it's not in the woods anymore? What if it's closer? One of my friends went to the door that had the only small diamond-shaped window to look down the steps outside, and I yelled, "Don't open the door!" He yelled back that he was just going to have a look. He looked through the window for a while and asked for a flashlight. So we took him one and he shined it outside for a while and didn't see anything. So he asked, "Do y'all want to make a run for the four-wheelers?" And I was trying to think how far they were, about 30 yards on the trail to the logging road. I thought that it was a very long walk, especially if that thing was still out there. We listened for a little longer, all of us still on edge. Then one of my friends asked, "What is it?" "A pissed-off bear, you think?" Another friend replied, "I don't know, but I can't stand this. We got to see what it is." I told him I was staying put. "I'm waiting for daylight so I can see. 2 flashlights, 2 lanterns, and 1 little gun isn't enough for me." So everyone agreed and sat back down and waited, while one friend stayed looking at the door. It had been 10 or 15 minutes since we heard any noise. Then all of a sudden, a big thud on the backside of the cabin, halfway up the wall. We all scrambled to the center, and we yelled and cussed. We were yelling at whatever it was to go away. So at this point, I was pissed. I thought somebody was messing with us. So I ran to the wall where I heard the thud, and I banged back as hard as I could and yelled, "I've got a gun in here. Go away, or I'll shoot you." Everyone went quiet to see if we got a response, but we heard nothing. So I put my ear to the wall to see what I could hear. What I heard
still freaks me out today. It sounded like heavy breathing about waist down from me, and what sounded like a hand rubbing against the outside wall like it was trying to find a way in. I stepped back and looked at the wall. It was head level where I heard what sounded like a hand rubbing the wall. If you were standing outside, you would have to be almost 12 feet from the ground. As I was thinking about this, one of my friends said, "Did you hear anything?" But I said no, but they knew I did. So I said we might need to make a run for it. To the four-wheelers, I mean. We walked to the door and got ready. One of my friends said, "When I open this door, don't stop. Just run and crank them up. It don't matter who's driving. Just whoever gets there first." And then I said, "Let me shoot a couple of times in the air as we run out." Two of them said, "Okay." And the other friend said, "Why is that thing close?" I didn't want to say, but I said yes, and at that moment, my friend opened the door. I ran out and shot twice as I ran down the steps, and then I noticed I must have been running slow because I was getting passed up by my friends. So I sped up, and when we were at the four-wheelers, they cranked up, and we were gone. We had them wide open all the way home. I felt like something was going to snatch me off the back. That thing, so I stayed, turned around so I could see behind us. But I didn't see anything. It felt like it took forever to get back to my house. But at 50 miles per hour, it was probably only 15 minutes until we got to my house at almost 3 in the morning, and I banged on the door until my dad got up, and he was mad, and he asked me, "I thought you were camping." He asked what happened, and I said, "We just wanted to come back here is all." And he said, "Where was my cooler and stuff you took?" I said, "Back at the cabin. We'll get it tomorrow." I never saw him so mad that we just left everything there. But he could see I was upset, so he left me alone and went back to bed. Needless to say, we did not sleep. We just talked about what it could have been and what was it doing. As we talked and fussed about what happened, our courage was building, and as daylight approached, we waited till about 8 a.m. and loaded up some shotguns and rifles and went back ready for whatever we might have to face. When we got there, everything was in order. As we went inside, I went to the back of the cabin and looked up at the wall where I heard the breathing, and it was about 8 feet, and where I heard the hand rubbing the wall had to be 12 feet. I looked all over the ground, and there were no tracks of any kind. The ground was hard, but as we searched the woods around the cabin, we did find limbs broken and pulled down from all different heights. Highest was 9 feet up, and the lowest about 4 feet. No hairs, no smells, just broken limbs. We looked for hours, then we gathered our things and went back home. And we didn't talk about it because we knew people would laugh and make fun of us. So I didn't talk about it for a few years. Makes a great camping story, of course. People think you're pulling their leg or messing with them. I just laugh along. But I did go camping again a year or more later, just not there. I did go back to the cabin a few times to go fishing and arrowhead hunting in the water, but always during the day. I'm not scared of the woods I grew up around. But I do fear what might be in them.
Next story. This is set in 1998. Having lived in the area for more than 4 years, I had become accustomed to and familiar with driving my ATV, a Honda 450 Foreman, in and around the Daniel Boone National Park. I was 22 years of age and was dating a local girl who lived in the county her entire life. We'll call her Pam. We left my house one October night, traveled to the end of my ridge road, which is gravel, then continued on the dirt logging road, no longer in use at the time, which is privately owned. This road, of course, was wide enough to have at one time accommodated trucks and machinery used for logging. This old road goes on for maybe a mile to a mile and a half eastward before splitting into three separate roads, each having several arteries branching from them. We stayed on the eastward path that runs into Daniel Boone National Forest. From this point, there is an old horse trail that the locals use for their equine excursions. We had traveled the entire horse trail and all the logging roads many times, and I felt intimately familiar with every nook and cranny these paths offered. Pam and I motored down the horse trail at a leisurely pace due to the narrowness of the trail among the thick forest trees. This, coupled with the many twists and turns of the horse trail, one could rarely exceed 8 to 10 miles per hour. I know this because the ATV had a digital mile per hour readout that was backlit for night travel.
After 200 to 300 yards, we came upon a small pond that sits on the south side of the trail. This was a favorite spot of mine. Many times I would travel to the spot at night, turn off my lights and engine, and just sit and gaze at the stars and take in all the smells and sounds this forest offered. I saw my first shooting star while gazing up into the fall sky the year before in this very spot. The small circular pond sat in a very tiny clearing of the forest just off the horse trail, with a tree line only about 20 feet from the water's edge all the way around. I pulled around to the side of the pond opposite the trail. Upon a clear and half-moonlit night, I turned off the engine and lights. I was oblivious that we had just parked near an entity that did not want us there. Fortunately, before we could even lift our butts off the seat to get off the ATV, there was a tremendous roar that came from the tree line directly behind us, probably no more than 40 or 50 yards away. I was instantly terrified at this sound. It was something I'd never heard. It was loud and near. Pam screamed as I started up the ATV and headed back down the trail towards home. Luckily, the trail back out of there lay right in front of us. Holding onto me from behind, Pam remained silent as we made our escape. As quickly as I could, and without hitting any trees, we made our way back to the logging road a few hundred yards away. I never remember turning my body to look back, but I looked from side to side many times. This model ATV had 3 headlights. 2 are in a fixed position on the four-wheeler front, and the 3rd is attached to the handlebars, and thus turned from side to side several dozen times as we made our way back to the logging road. From the pond to the logging road, I saw nothing unusual on either side of the tree line, neither directly nor in my peripheral. But remember, the horse trail is on forest property, and the trees are much more densely populated. Even with the ATV's lights and the half moon, my vision would have been severely limited. Neither of us shouted or spoke to one another during the retreat on the horse trail. During this time, I remember telling myself over and over that it must be some kind of animal or even bird that made that awful noise. Finally, after what seemed like an eternity, we reached the logging road. It greeted us with a straighter, wider path and sparsely populated trees. Now comes the recollection that haunts my dreams to this day. Having reached the logging road without seeing or hearing any signs that we were being pursued, not wanting to wreck, of course, I only moderately quickened our pace. Now, on the south side of the trail, something caught my eyes. I saw a dark figure running parallel to the road directly to my left, about 30 yards. This thing was running on 2 legs. It looked like a very tall and large human form. I looked directly at it for a few seconds, turned back to look at the road, then turned and looked in its direction once more to discover it was still there, keeping pace with us. During the second and final glance at this being, which also just lasted a couple of seconds, it was one of those moments in life when you wonder if what you're experiencing is real or just a dream. I looked down at my large digital backlit speedometer. It read 22 miles per hour. Finally, a moderately sharp bend to the south on the trail. I had to slow a little. As the road straightened again, I floored it and for the first time turned my body to look to the left and a little behind to see if this curve to the left had allowed the creature an advantage in case it was upon me or even in front of me. Nothing. It was not in close proximity to my left or rear. I even scanned the trees to my right. Nothing. I cocked my head to the side and yelled over the sound of the engine, "Pam, did you see it?" These being the first words we'd spoken since the encounter, she must have thought my abrupt acceleration was due to the fact that beyond the sharp turn in the trail we'd just passed, the road did become more straight and smooth. Her response in my ear was, "I didn't see anything. Did you see something?" I said, "Nope," with intentions of telling her everything once we reached my house. I slowed my pace, and within minutes we were on the gravel road which led home. We went over the experience again and again that night, but I never told her what I saw. I sold my four-wheeler and moved to the city in the summer of 99. I purchased another ATV in 2000. I bought a trailer and would pull my ATV to the 49 exit off I-75 and do my riding in Laurel and Rockcastle counties. I hauled my ATV back to the area I saw the creature on that summer day in 2001. I was alone. I went to the pond and stood in the bank for a few minutes. I skipped a few rocks and left. It was a beautiful day. Next story. My name is Frank and I'm 40 years old, with no reason to make up a story like this. There is nothing to gain, nothing to lose, and I really am not trying to scare anyone. We all know there are many other things to be scared of in this world, besides someone making up crazy stories about Bigfoot. I have read some really hard-to-believe stories about Sasquatch, but hey, whatever floats your boat. My encounter began while I was on a fishing trip just south of Nashville, Illinois, at Washington County Lake. It was July 2010, and I decided to go catfishing. After loading up the boat and all my gear, I got to the ramp around 5:30 p.m. The sun was hot, so after putting the boat in, I headed for a cove on the northeast side of the lake where the trees shaded the water. I was anchored about 30 feet from the bank and enjoying the peace and quiet. I caught a mess of fish and decided to fish well into the night as the catfish were biting great. It was now about 11 p.m. and things started to stomp around in the woods. I figured it was deer or coons. I couldn't hear the rustling around not far in the woods, and it would make noises about every 10 to 15 minutes. I never really thought much of it and was more into catching fish than worrying about an animal in the bushes. The time passed and I heard a splash that made the sound of a large rock being thrown in the water about 20 or 30 feet behind the boat. At first I thought someone was screwing around and threw a rock in the water. I looked at the clock, it was 1:27 a.m., now the 23rd, and after thinking it over, I decided it had to be fish because for someone to be that far back into the woods, they had to have walked a good distance and I would have noticed a light. Plus, as big as the sound of the splash was, they don't have to be Superman to have thrown a large rock that far out into the water. I continued fishing and never heard any other noise, and after a bit forgot all about the splash. As the fishing died down around 3 a.m., I decided to pack it up and head for the dock. As I was pulling the anchors out, I heard a noise in the woods just from the bank, like something was startled when I stood up and pulled the anchor. I figured I spooked a deer bedded down. I was only able to run my trolling motor on my boat because the lake has a 10-horsepower limit, and my motor was bigger than 10 horses. So I was trolling back to the deck, and I heard the noise of whatever spooked in the woods moving along the edge of the wood line as I moved in the water. This went on for about 3/4 of a mile, and I was now about 100 yards from the dock. All around the dock, bait shop and bank, there are street lights in the dock area, and the woods thin out to none. As I reached this area, the movement in the woods stopped. Well, now I was curious as what the hell type of animal would follow me like that. I tied off the boat and walked up to the parking lot to get the truck when I heard a grunt sound. I opened the truck door and it grunted again. So I fired up the truck and shone my headlights towards the area where the grunt came from. To my surprise, there was a large set of yellow eyes in the woods. As I studied them, I could see them blinking and noticed they looked really high in the air, like 8 feet or so. Not thinking anything fearful, I backed down the ramp and loaded the boat. After getting everything buttoned down and ready to head home, I got in the truck and headed up the ramp. I looked for the eyes in the same area and did not see them. Leaving the lake consists of a 20-mile-per-hour speed limit and a winding road for a few miles. As I passed the check-in station close to the road, I heard a large bang like something hit the boat. So I stopped and got out to see if I had lost something. Everything looked fine. Nothing had fallen out, and as far as I could tell, nothing ran into the boat like a deer or whatever. So, I got back into the truck. Before pulling off, I heard the noise again, like something hit the boat. I hit the brake lights, so it would light up the boat a bit, and looked into the rear view. As I looked, I saw what looked like a very large man standing next to the boat. I was about to jump out and ask what the hell he was up to, when I got an eerie feeling and something just told me to drive. So I hit the gas with my eyes glued to the figure. As I took off, it started towards the truck. So I hit it, letting gravel fly. I was up to about 35 miles an hour when something hit the truck, making the truck shake. Well, now I was done messing around and said piss on the speed limit. I guess I lost it at that speed, and I'm just not sure what happened. When I got to the highway, I got out to check the truck, and there was and still is a nice dent high on the passenger side bed of the truck. I went home, unloaded the boat, grabbed a shotgun, and headed back out there. I crept along those roads till dawn, looking for whatever it was that hit my truck, and never saw a thing. I still fish there today, but not alone. Next story. It was July of 1967, and myself and two very good friends went on an all-night bass fishing excursion on a strip mine pit just west of Farmington, Illinois. The fishing was bad because of intense rain that came and went as the evening wore on. Around 11 p.m., I was standing next to one of the two friends when I heard a sound coming from down the gravel road that went by the lake. The sound was coming from quite a distance, and at first I thought it was a katydid, but I was surprised at the volume and realized it was not an insect sound, but something much larger. As the sound drew closer, the volume increased to the point where my friend, who was fishing in the same location as me, stopped reeling his line in and asked, "What is that?" I told him I didn't know, but I noticed that it was getting louder and sounded like it was coming towards us. The sound got louder and louder and was actually very irritating to the ears. Our other friend finally hollered at us and told us to knock it off. We told him it wasn't us making the noise, and we stopped fishing and walked over to where he was standing. By this time, the noise was excruciatingly loud, and the frogs and insects had stopped, croaking and singing. Suddenly, there was a sound of a very large body jumping into the shallow water slough next to the lake where we were fishing in. Whatever it was that jumped in the water began making deep, booming sounds in the water by lifting its feet clear of the water and then crashing them back in flat-footed. We just stood there in the pitch blackness and listened until the creature came out of the water on our side of the bank and started making its way through the 8-foot-tall reeds between us and him. I walked a few feet away from my friends toward the sound it was making, walking through the reeds, and stopped on a footpath that went around the end of the lake and stood there as the creature stepped almost all the way through the reeds. I remember looking up at something that towered over me, but was just a black mass in a mass of tan-colored reeds. I didn't smell anything or see anything clearly, but whatever it was stopped and stood there as though it was looking at me. Instantly, I took off on a dead run around the lake towards a house on the other side of the lake to see if I could get some help for us. When I got back to the porch of the house, I heard a couple more splashes and saw by the dim porch light that my friends had jumped in the water and one of them had drawn his knife and was hollering for me to get back over there as the thing was standing just a few feet away. I took off running, and when I got to the other side in 20 seconds or so, the creature had backed off and was now in the reeds again. It jumped back in the water and got back out and approached us again, and this time the three of us hid underneath an overturned John boat that was lying on the bank. The creature stomped around the boat, and I got the knife from my friend and prepared to stab at any finger that attempted to lift the boat off of us, but the creature just went back to the slough and jumped back in. It walked up and down the slough for the rest of the night, screaming in a sound that was ungodly, until the sun was about ready to come up, at which time it went back down the gravel road in the direction it had come from and gradually out of our hearing. Our encounter with this creature lasted for at least 5 hours, and I will never forget it and the terrorizing effect it had on me and my friends. It happened over 45 years ago, but it seems like it was just last week.